This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And, oh, man, I was just sick this weekend. Not physically, but emotionally ill.
There's always going to be another mountain. I'm always going to want to make it move. Always going to be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm going to have to lose.
So I've told you that this song was part of one of the most emotional moments of my life a few years ago. I won't get into all that again. But that Miley Cyrus, I heard over the weekend, she and her hubby, actor? What's he ever been in? Liam Hemsworth.
Well, they did the last song together. That's how they got introduced.
A movie?
And then, yes, that was one of those Nicholas Sparks book movies.
Okay.
And then he was also, what else was he in?
I have no idea.
Yeah, he's been in a lot.
So anyway, I heard that Miley and her hubby Liam Hemsworth were splitting up. And I realized that...
Oh, Hunger Games, though.
It was in the Hunger Games,
right,
too.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that my show is likely responsible for the breakup between Miley and Liam, and just made me sick when I had that heartbreaking realization. Because you may recall, a few months ago, Miley said that they're not going to have kids until there are fish in the oceans. That was in an interview with Elle magazine. But that was her quote. She and Liam are not having babies until, quote, we live on Earth with fish in the water. Well, that was right about the time I went up to Sitka, and Tom Nelson and Brock and I, we clearly pulled a bunch of halibut and king salmon out of the waters, thereby proving that there are fish in the water, meaning that she's now freed up to have a baby, but I don't think she's ready to have a baby, so she just divorced the guy. But if I had just kept my big pole out of the water and hadn't pulled up any fish, she could still be blissfully ignorant and think that there still are no fish in the water. But I posted all these photos on Twitter and on My Northwest of me and the fish, and now she knows that she doesn't have an excuse anymore. So I feel bad. And then I heard her over the weekend.
I don't think you should beat yourself up about that.
And I have been all weekend. I've been self-flagellating.
What? Stop.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
When you beat your back with branches until, yeah.
I
think that's flagellation, I believe. Do you look up flagellation, please? Two G's. And then I heard more from her over the weekend. I heard that she described herself as a queer person. And then I heard she was making out with some other woman right after she broke up with her husband. So she's like, she's all over the place.
She is.
Yeah.
She says she's sexually attracted to both.
She's bouncing around like a ping pong ball, for crying out loud.
I think Miley likes attention.
No, come on. Okay, so anyway, I'm sorry. To Miley and Liam, I would just like to publicly apologize.
For taking fish out of the water.
Yes, for showing.
Okay.
That there are fish in the oceans. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. Sometimes I see news stories that are just so incredibly stupid to me that I like to point out their stupidity. So I just saw in the Seattle Times that one of the nation's nicest public bathrooms is right here in our region. It's at SeaTac Airport. There's some bathroom fixture company. And so they have a competition every year to pick the nicest bathroom in the country. And some new bathroom at SeaTac has been nominated and gotten into the top 10. And I just don't. Oh, by the way, I just got a text from Tom Nelson. He's invited me to go fishing again so we can help other non-traditional people, bleeding hearts, avoid their nuptials. I'm in, Tom. I'm in, brother. Okay, so how do you get to be a top 10 bathroom? Bathroom's a bathroom. And I just think these polls that they do, so a bathroom fixture company, that's why I'm not naming the company, so they can get a little attention, and they just randomly pick 10 public bathrooms in the country and throw them up as the top 10.
I don't know.
I ain't buying it.
Not all of them are the same. That's not true.
Yeah, they are.
Some are much better than others.
In airports?
Oh, yeah.
In airports, they're all the same.
Oh, no.
No, I'll tell you where they were different. When I was a student at the University of Washington, there was one bathroom in one of those old, old buildings, and it had a window in the stall. And you could sit in that stall and look out at this beautiful campus.
Could people look in?
I think...
It was just tall enough.
No, the angle. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're on like the fourth floor, and so the angle, it was difficult for people to see in. Mm. But that was always one of my
favorites. I do think
favorites.
It's some of them just have the sinks and the, you know, when you get off the plane, somebody's picking you up. Sometimes you like to stop at the bathroom and get prettied up after
all the same.
You get off the plane.
Not the same. Okay, next up, I have a challenge to public officials in Kent, the lovely town of Kent. And that's because they have just started to enforce. They've had them up for a while, but now they are going to enforce and send out tickets for their brand new red light cams. And I saw the Q13 story about this.
They're flashing light. They're snapping pictures. You've already gotten a ticket. You just didn't know about it.
These cams have been up for about a month, but this week, tickets start going out. The city of Kent says the goal of these cameras is to keep streets and roadways safer.
Okay, I think they're lying. The goal of the cameras is to keep streets and roadways safer. And I'll make public officials in Kent the same offer that I made to the public officials in Linwood several years ago when they tried telling us that all of their extensive red light cameras are to make the roads safer. Because I believed then and I believe now that the red light cameras are seen as nothing more than a source of revenues. And down in Kent, somebody gets a red light cam violation. It's $136. And I do not believe the sincerity of politicians who say they do red light cams to make streets safer. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't know what the deal is in Kent, but I know that in my town, where we have two school and one red light cam, the deal is if they don't keep producing enough in revenues, the red light camera company is going to either pull it out or move it to a higher revenue spot. Now, if you're really about safety, your goal should be zero in revenues, because you don't want anybody getting tickets because you don't want anybody speeding. But in Linwood, they are desperately hungry for people to get red light camera tickets because they have built their budget in large part around the revenues. And they say, well, we've lost money from sales tax since retail is down so far. That wasn't the case when you put them in. And I called them liars, and I remember one Linwood, I wish I still had the audio of this. My goodness, I wish I still had the audio. A Linwood city councilman, I have no clue what his name is or was, but he called up furious at me for calling him a liar. And I said, come on in here and take a polygraph. And he said, do you really believe we care about money more than public safety? And I said, yes, I really believe that. And I believe that to this day. As you build your revenue model in Lynnwood, in big part because of what you'll get from those red light cams. And so Kent's the same way. If any public official wants to come in here, take a polygraph test and prove to me that you really think these are more about public safety than money, let's arrange that. Because I simply do not believe politicians when they tell me that anything is about more than just money. Next up in the Fastest 15. Man, this news that many of us woke up to Saturday morning. Jeffrey Epstein, the billionaire pedophile, committed suicide. And I'll put air quotes around suicide. Committed suicide in his high security Manhattan jail cell. And a lot of people just flat out do not believe it. Jeffrey Epstein on Friday started to name some names. And look, he had some of the richest, most powerful people on earth as part of what appeared to be the sex ring. But on Friday, a woman who says she was 14 years old when Epstein was using her for sex and then trading her out to other high-profile, high-powered people. She said that Prince Andrew was one of the people she was forced to have sex with. And when you have somebody, meaning Epstein, who's starting to roll over on, you know, the royal family, Bill Clinton took 27 flights on this guy's plane. Donald Trump was seen at a fundraiser with him. I mean, you're talking about some of the most powerful people on earth. And when one of them's the Clintons, because there is a long list of Clinton associate body count that's been circulating for a long, long time. People who mysteriously died, who had accidents, who, I mean, you know, Vince Foster committed suicide. There's just a long list of people who were associated with the Clintons who have died over the years. And look, this guy, royal family, pictures with Donald Trump, 27 times Bill Clinton was on his airplane. And if he's starting to roll over on the most powerful people, I do not think it was a suicide. And I'm not a big, huge conspiracy theory person, generally. But I do not think this was a suicide. Everything that I've heard is that it's virtually impossible to commit suicide. And now we're being told today there was no video surveillance, so we don't have any video of how he committed suicide. Because you don't have any shoelaces, the little outfit, the jail uniform you wear could never support the weight of a hanging. The sheets are paper thin for the same reason. There are no bars in this jail cell. It's just a locked room. There's no light fixture. So everyone's wondering how in the world. You don't need a lot of height to hang yourself. You know, Robin Williams reportedly hanged himself from a doorknob. So you don't have to have that much height. But this guy just starts to roll over. And, I mean, the more you hear about this person, it's like, I'm glad that he's dead. But his victims, they didn't want him dead. And that is the easy way out. And considering that he was living this billionaire's life, and even when he was convicted more than a decade ago, and he's put on in jail, but they said, but we'll let you work 5 or 6 days a week. And he would go to his office where he apparently had arranged some, you know, underage sex trysts once again, even while he was in jail, while he was serving time for that, he reportedly was still engaging in that behavior while serving his punishment a decade and a half ago. That's how sick a freak this Epstein was. So now he just committed suicide over the weekend. He was supposedly on suicide watch that got lifted a week ago. He was supposed to have video surveillance in his cell, and somehow, mysteriously, that didn't happen. Now, does not sound like a suicide to me. Next up in the Fastest 15, man, I tell you what, at MSNBC, they just cannot stop comparing the president to Adolf Hitler. This weekend, it was Donnie Deutsch who decided to go down that path once again.
So many stunning parallels to what Hitler was doing in the early 30s. Once again, I'm not saying Trump is going to slaughter 6 million Jews, but ranging from the fake news parallel.
I like that. I'm not saying Trump's going to slaughter 6 million Jews, but there's always a but with these nuts.
Trump is going to slaughter 6 million Jews, but ranging from the fake news parallels to the seizing of new powers, the Reichstag in 33 versus, you know, Trump's non-existent national emergencies and declarations to ignore Congress, the racial scapegoating, the rallies, the isolating of himself, the creating a false other. He has the Justice Department in his pocket. He has one branch of the government marching blindly behind him. And we keep saying, oh, there's a safeguard. This couldn't happen. This couldn't happen. But every time, even when it comes down to, it's like, send her home, send her back. And then Kevin McCarthy, the third ranking Republican, basically said, no, you didn't see that. That wasn't a chant.
Right.
So I firmly believe, knowing Donald Trump, that if you said to Donald Trump, Mr. Trump, in order to become Putin, in order to stay in office forever, in order to loot this country, you have to do X. He is capable of doing wherever your mind can take you for X.
1,000%.
That's what passes for analysis now on MSNBC. By the way, the president tweeted, I know it's shocking, after that, and he tweeted, so funny to watch little Donnie Deutsch on TV with his own failing show. When I did The Apprentice, Donnie would call me, along with Aaron Burnett and others, and beg to be on that very successful show. He had the TV bug, and I would let him come on, though he and Aaron had very little TV talent. And then went on and on. He sent multiple tweets about Donnie Deutsch. But Trump is Hitler, according to MSNBC, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. So what should we do about the revolving door? These criminals who get arrested 50, 60, 80 times around here. Law enforcement does have a tool they could use. They just don't. We will tell you about it next. A couple of weeks ago, we told you about Francisco Calderon. This guy has been arrested more than 70 times. And his sister, after another violent case on the streets, his sister was begging authorities to keep her brother behind bars before he real seriously injures or killed somebody.
She had explained to me that they were considering bail or releasing him, and I said, absolutely not. He is not safe to be returned to the community, and that would be irresponsible to do that. So I'm worried for his safety, and I'm worried for the people that are out there in the community, and I just it's not the right thing to do.
We've been talking a lot about the catch and release that they are playing in King County, where they're taking these violent repeat offenders and just putting them back out on the streets. And they'll assault people. We had one who tried to throw a woman off an overpass, and on it goes. So is there a way for us to keep them locked up, even if it's longer than the sentence that they have been convicted of? And our Carolyn Osorio has been looking at that. And we do have something called Ricky's Law. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we do have. It's called Ricky's Law. It was passed in 2018. And it's for
people who are addicted to drugs, who are either a deterrent to themselves, or they could hurt themselves or to others. And so the implementation of this law is basically not being implemented because of bureaucracy. And so I talked to a woman whose best friend was Ricky Garcia, who was somebody who was an addict. And he said if there was a law that allowed him to be involuntarily committed earlier, his life would have been completely different, although now he's been clean and sober for 5 years. And so I talked to her, and she basically is like, yeah, we need to get more people involved in involuntarily committed to get them the treatment that they need.
Yeah, and we talked about this just a week or two ago, that we, for the most violent rapists, we have involuntary civil commitment, and we've talked a lot about whether we need that for these people who are committing 40, 70, 80 crimes. And you talked with Tina Cooper, whose son just turned 24, and she expressed the anguish of a parent who just cannot help her son.
For one, I didn't want my son to know that I had seen him like that. It's already hard enough on him knowing the damage he's doing to himself and to his family. I just didn't want to give him more anguish for a reason to do more drugs. So I kept going.
So she basically, I saw her story on Facebook, and she, is a real advocate for Ricky's Law and wishes that there's more help for addicts. And so she literally saw her, she was coming home from work, and she saw her son, slumped over by a bus station, and she had two choices. She could stop and help, or she drove by, and she chose to drive by because she says her son has a mental illness and he's also addicted to drugs. But I mean, that's such a horrible choice for her. You can hear the anguish almost keen in her voice. I mean, I'm speechless, Dory, which is saying a lot.
Right. No, she said that it was just absolutely gut-wrenching to be a mom who had to just drive by her son.
I have written countless letters to the judge directly begging him to leave my son in jail. And every time I go to court, I beg the court, please, just keep him in there. At least I know he's safe. This slap on the hand and let him out to go do dope again. It's like this revolving door of not giving a about our kids.
So you have to understand that this is a tool that is available to the people in charge. They're just not using it.
I can't get police. I can't get courts. I can't get doctors. I can't get jail. I can't get anybody to help and say, okay, this is enough with this one. We need to make it so he can't leave somewhere.
Okay, so why? If this is something that's available to them, why is it not being used?
Well, I talked to Lauren Davis. Now, I spoke about her earlier. She's the executive director for the Washington Recovery Alliance. She's also a state representative, and she championed Ricky's Law. And she said the majority of the addicts that they've been able to help so far, which is over, I think she said 549, they've gone on to receive continued treatment. But she says one of the main things among many bureaucratic hurdles to overcome is that they only have two locations right now, one in Chehalis and one in Spokane. And so there's that ambulance ride to Chehalis. So I guess it's an insurance thing. They get paid for the drive there, but they don't get paid for the drive back. So it's this hurdle that should be overcome.
So they could expand it to King County or the Puget Sound area. They just have not.
They need to. By 2026, they have to have 9 facilities open for people who are, like Ricky, who need to be involuntarily committed for their own safety. Okay. So they just haven't ramped it up. And part of that is just bureaucracy. And so they expect to have one facility in at the end of the year. But King County Councilwoman Kathy Lambert says, we have facilities that could be used for, involuntary commitment. It's just the optics aren't that great.
Yeah, Kathy Lambert says we just have to get behind it.
But I would say that there's at least 200 beds in bed space available in the county where this could happen. And so we just need to be looking at, do we want to take the philosophy that we are going to use Ricky's Law for those that really are in serious trouble? And that if we don't intervene in the near future, future, that they may be dead or that they may hurt somebody else.
Yeah, that's something I've talked about all the time, that are we just going to wait until they kill somebody before we lock somebody up for any extended period of time? And that seems like a pretty high price for society to pay for our inaction if this tool is available to them now.
Well, I mean, not only that, but think about the family. Anybody who's had an addict in their family knows that struggle, and it's just helpless to try to. Here is a tool that is legal to use right now. And, you know, according to Lauren Davis, they're only using 30% of the beds that they have. They have 45 beds between those two facilities, yeah, and only 30% are being used. And so it begs the question, you know, what is it going to take?
Yeah, and it's going to take somebody being killed. I mean, I'm afraid of that. But now you know. I did not know now that tool was available, that they had an involuntary commitment tool that they could use. So when you hear about these people who are going in and out, 50, 60, 70 arrests, this could stop. We just don't have the people in power who are using it. All right. Good stuff, Carolyn. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dory.
Carolyn Osorio. With that, as always, I'd love to hear your thoughts. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. And we do have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Last week, I closed the show. Today's sign, the end is near, with this song, Rosanna. A little Toto coming at you. And that's because actress Rosanna Arquette, midweek last week, she sent out a tweet about her self-loathing because she was born white. The tweet said, "I'm sorry I was born white and privileged. It disgusts me, and I feel so much shame." And my message to her, I was trying to, you know, build her up. My message to her was, don't feel disgust and shame because you were born white. Feel disgust and shame because you're a leftist moron. That's the right reason to feel disgust and shame and self-loathing, Rosanna. Anyway, over the week, I have an update to the Rosanna Arquette story. Over the weekend, she claims she was instructed to lock her account by the FBI. I don't believe any of this, by the way. But she says that it was an effort to protect herself from threatening and cruel online responses to her tweet. Now, why would the FBI get involved? There are a lot of moronic tweets that a lot of moronic people send every single day. And a lot of times the response is strong. Why would the FBI care? Fox News contacted the FBI to see if they would verify her story, and they had no comment. But she said she told the Wrap, I don't know what the Wrap is, but she told the Wrap, there are toxic and very vicious people on social media, threatening and cruel. Really? Gosh, I've never experienced any of that. I've never experienced toxicity. I've never experienced viciousness. I've never known anyone to be threatening or cruel. I said, getting back to her quote, I said, I'm ashamed of the color of my skin. I am privileged just because I'm white. I feel shame. Because of all the violence that is happening in America and other racist countries, I was not raised to be racist. In fact, my mother took me to Harlem to integrate an all-black nursery school when I was 4. I feel truly desolate at the bigotry and severe racism that we are witnessing in 2019. Now, as I said last week, none of us can control what our gender is, what our race is. unless you're Rachel Dolezal, then you can change your race. I guess anybody can change their gender, too. Okay, you can do and change and be anything you want. Nothing matters. Biology doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. But no, you can. There are limited things we can control. But we have total control over how we treat other people, how we live our individual lives. And this just phony. And the reason is the last 3 or 4 weeks, every Democrat presidential candidate and every media network pretty much was screaming white supremacy. And so Rosanna Arquette, I need to come up with white self-loathing so I will be relevant again. And so she sends out this tweet. And again, you can control how you treat and view other people and not being a racist. You can't control other people. But this notion that I hate myself, I'm self-loathing because I was born white. First of all, I don't believe it. Second, if it is true, you're an idiot to be self-loathing. Control what you can control. Live your white life the way you think everybody should live their life. And then you're doing everything you can as a human. I'll give you another example of how some people are just trying desperately to stoke racial hatred. And they can, constantly accuse the president of this. But also over the weekend, on Friday, Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, she tweeted, 5 years ago, Michael Brown was murdered by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. Michael was unarmed, yet he was shot 6 times. I stand with activists and organizers who continue the fight for justice for Michael. We must confront systemic racism and police violence head on. Well, she left an awful lot out of the story, including that Barack Obama's Department of Justice, Obama's Department of Justice, thoroughly investigated it, thoroughly debunked the hands up, don't shoot. To call a police officer who was exonerated a murderer is just stoking racial hatred, which is what people like Elizabeth Warren love to do. And then over the weekend, some of the other presidential candidates had to jump on board that bandwagon, and they sent out similar Michael Brown tweets. As I said, it's all, here's Kamala Harris, Beto O'Rourke, they sent out similar tweets. Bernie Sanders, it's all projection. Those who hate the most accuse it the most in others. And our big lead at two is now.